V'haya ki tavo el ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha noten lecha nachala v'rishta v'yashavta ba. OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for the penultimate Shabbat of the year 5770, Shabbat Parshat Ki Tavo. Nitzavim, either alone or together with Vayelech as it is this year, is always on the last Shabbat of the year, the Shabbat right before Rosh Hashanah, and that makes Ki Tavo the annual penultimate parsha, and there is not just a coincidence here. It seems the calendar was purposely orchestrated to prevent Ki Tavo with its heavy tochacha, its heavy reproach and threat and warning by God for our misconduct, that shouldn't be what brings us into Rosh Hashanah. We have a more uplifting, optimistic Nitzavim with Vayelech this year as the Shabbat to take us into Rosh Hashanah, and that keeps Ki Tavo a little bit away. One way or the other, recording and first broadcast is Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 16th day of Elul, 5770, the 26th day of August. For me and my family, it's a special time. We came on Aliyah 29 years ago. Baruch Hashem, we are here and have flourished since arrival. And we arrived on a Wednesday between Parshat Ki Teitze and Ki Tavo, meaning Ki Teitze, when you go out of the United States, V'haya ki tavo el ha'aretz, when you come to the land of Israel, right smack in the middle of the week. I mentioned to some people, our oldest daughter was not yet 5, was in kindergarten in Queens, New York, on Tuesday. We traveled on Wednesday, and on Thursday she was in kindergarten, gone, here in Yerushalayim. And she hardly missed a beat. She did suspect that the kids were different because they were speaking a different language, but she adjusted very well. It's a very good age to bring a child to Israel all those 29 years ago. Psalm 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim k'raticha Adonai. Adonai shimava koli tihyena oznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor yah, Adonai mi ya'amod, ki imecha hasalicha l'ma'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kiveta nafshi, v'lidvaro hocholti. Nafshi l'Adonai, mi shomerim l'boker, shomerim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. Vehu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael, hanatunim batzara uvashivya, ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, hamakom yirachem aleihem, ויוציאים מצרה לרווחה ומאפלה לאורה ומשיבוד לגאולה, השתה בעגלה ובזמן קריב ונאמר אמן. I mentioned our coming in Aliyah on the Wednesday between Kitetse and Kitavo. The date that year was Yud Zayin Elul, the 17th of Elul, which is tonight, tomorrow, Friday. And the secular date was September 16th, so this year that particular part of the dating of our Aliyah is removed from the other two aspects, and we celebrate all three. It doesn't really matter. I rediscovered an album today. It's David Fadida Presents Yonatan Sheinfeld. The name of the album is Kulanu Yachad, which is one of its tracks. The track I would like to play for you is called Im Tachaneh. And I will give you the context of the words of the song. Psalm 27, we have been saying since the first day of Elul, twice a day. We continue to say it until Hoshana Rabbah here in Israel. It turns out, by the way, to be exactly 100 times, twice on 50 days during that period, that we say, L'David, Hashem Ori V'Yishi. And I don't know exactly the significance of it, but 100 times does have a significance. L'David, as I mentioned, Psalm 27, the words for this song are the first verse, as well as, the fourth or fifth verse. By David, L'David, God is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? Then it skips a few verses to the one that goes in English. Should an army besiege me, my heart would not fear. Should war break out against me, still I would be confident. It's a passage about our trust and confidence in God. That verse that I just read is followed by Achat Sha'alti Me'et Hashem, one thing I ask of God, only this do I seek, to live in the house of God all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of God and worship in His temple. That's not part of this song, but it is part of L'David. It's a very uplifting passage to recite. Not every community does, but many, many people do say this at the end of Shacharit, some at the end of Mincha as well, some at the end of Arvit as well. Im Tachaneh, Yonatan Sheinfeld.
David Hashem Ori V'Yishi Mimiro Hashem Hashem Aos Chayai Mimi Efron L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishi Mimiro Hashem Hashem Aos Chayai Mimi Efron תחנה עולי מחנה לא יראו ליבי אם תוקום עולי מלחמו וזו יסני ביתיה אם תחנה עולי מחנה לא יראו ליבי אם תוקום עולי מלחמו וזו יסני ביתיה David Hashem Oyvei Shir Mimi Ro Hashem Hashem Os Chayai Mimi Efron David Hashem Oyvei Shir Mimi Ro Hashem Hashem
Okay, let's get into Parshat Ki Tavo. As I mentioned, the opening verse, V'haya Ki Tavo El Ha'aretz, it will be when you enter the land that God has given you, V'rishta V'yashavta Ba, and you shall take possession of it and dwell in it. This is not necessarily the place for the command, but it certainly tells us what God wants, as I have spoken of many times, Ritzon Hashem, God's will. You are coming to the land which God has given you as a nachala, as an inheritance, and you shall take possession of it, and you shall live in the land. Then comes the review of the mitzvah of Bikurim, which has already been commanded back in Parshat Mishpatim, repeated in Parshat Ki Tisa. And here we learn of the supplementary or auxiliary mitzvah to Bikurim. Bikurim is the bringing of the first fruits of Shivat Haminim, wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and dates. The first fruits from among those fruits are put into a basket, are brought to the Beit HaMikdash, to the temple, as a gift for the Kohanim. And the Jew who is bringing the Bikurim makes a declaration. This is that auxiliary mitzvah. He declares the brief history of the Jewish people, from the descent of Yaakov and his family as a family unit into Egypt, the enslavement, the subsequent call that God heard, and God's taking us out of Egypt, and bringing us to Eretz Yisrael. That's the declaration that the Bikurim bringer makes, and it is tied together to being joyful in the fact that you are living in the land of Israel. And therefore, what it says to us today, in addition to Im Yirtzeh Hashem, when we will have a Beit HaMikdash, we will go back to bringing Bikurim, it tells us something else, because there is a message, a command that transcends the time of the Beit HaMikdash and applies to us today and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, regardless of our situation. And that is expressed in the verse that finishes this portion of Bikurim, V'samachta b'chol hatov, asher natan lecha Hashem Elokecha ulveitecha, and you shall rejoice, be glad with all the good that God has given you and your household, you and the Levite and the proselyte who is in your midst, meaning you have to share your good fortune. Later in the Sedra, in the midst of that very, very heavy reproach and warning from God of what will happen, the terrible ramifications of misconduct, there is a very significant verse that brings to mind the one that I just said. Two verses earlier, all these curses will come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you will not have hearkened to the voice of God to observe his commandments and decrees that he commanded you. They will be a sign and a wonder in you and in your offspring forever. And here's the key. Because you did not serve God amid gladness and goodness of heart when everything was abundant. Tachat asher lo avadta et Hashem Elokecha b'simcha uvetuv levav merov kol. You had prosperity. You had wonderful golden times, and you did not serve God properly. And the punishment is totally devastating. But contrast this, or bring this together, with the pasuk at the beginning. Here is the ultimate. There is prosperity. The farmer has his crops. He has his first fruits. He brings them to the Beit HaMikdash. He makes a verbal declaration of the joy that he feels in living in the land of Israel, and these are his fruits. V'samachta b'chol hatov. God commands the Bikurim bringer, really he commands us all, to rejoice in all the good that God has given us. In the reproach, it's because we didn't do that that all of the devastation was rained upon us. It's a very, very important message, a very hard message, but it's a message that we could do something about, because the Torah has repeatedly pointed out that times of prosperity tend to get a person thinking of how special he himself is and forgetting the fact that this is a blessing from God. And one has to serve God and thank him and acknowledge him bisimcha, with joy. It's not enough to say thank you, but it has to be with a smile. It is not enough to do mitzvot, to go through the motions. It has to be with a genuine joy in doing God's bidding. One of the things that makes this Bikurim recitation very special is its sharp contrast with the sin of the spies, Chet HaMeraglim, perhaps the most devastating of sins of the young nation during the wilderness wandering, probably more so than the construction of the golden calf. The sin of the spies was an affront to God and affront to the land of Israel, a super slap in the face, where only the voices of Kalev ben Yefuneh and Yehoshua ben Nun spoke out in favor of just listen to what God wants. What are you, out of your mind? Do you think he would make it impossible for us to take possession of the land which he wants us to possess? just don't rebel against God. And the majority did, and the people panicked, and the Chet HaMeraglim can be summarized in one way as the spies bringing fruit from the land of Israel, showing it to the people, and saying, in essence, it's a nice place to visit, but you got to be out of your mind to live there. When the Bikurim bringer is living in Eretz Yisrael and brings the fruit to the Beit HaMikdash and declares, I am thrilled and delighted to be here, and I thank God for everything that I have. Let me go back to my celebrating of 29 years of Aliyah. That daughter that I mentioned, who's now towards her mid-30s, has repeatedly told me, and yesterday was no exception, how thrilled she is and thankful to us, her parents, for bringing her to Eretz Yisrael, to live here, to grow here, and to have a family here. There are no better words that a father could hear. The Meraglim said, look at this fruit. But who wants to live there? The Bikurim bringer is the tikkun, the repair of this devastating sin of the Meraglim. He is the one who says, look at these fruits. Thank God I am here and I am happy with all the good that God has given me. Translate this to modern times, and you have people today who are still doing the sin of the spies. I just came back from a three-week trip in Israel. It's a beautiful country. It's wonderful to be there, but I wouldn't want to live there. And you have other people who say, Baruch Hashem, I am thrilled and delighted to be here. And personally, I am thrilled, not only thrilled and delighted to live in Israel, I am thrilled and delighted to be the kind of Jew that would take Kalev and Yehoshua's point of view and not, chas v'chalila, God forbid, those of the other 10 Meraglim. But you have Jews today who are doing that. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. You are listening to Torah Tidbits Audio for Parsha Ki Tavo. Now comes the hard part. In fact, as I'm thinking out how to present the main theme of the lead tidbit from the hard copy of Torah Tidbits this week, it gets even a little bit worse. But let me go back to that lead tidbit to show you the way that I'm thinking. The Tochacha, which we have twice in the Torah differently, once in Parshat Bechukotai, once in Parshat Ki Tavo this week, is a very heavy section, makes a very long portion that nobody really traditionally wants to be called to the Torah for that portion. It's kind of depressing. And the tradition that many shuls have is to call the gabbai who is in charge of giving out aliyot to that portion of the Tochacha, so that no one can say, why did he pick me? He picked himself. And it's a history where in some communities nobody was called for that portion, which was a practice that was not really proper. And as I said now, it's usually either the Baal Kori himself or the Gabbai who calls people to the Torah, who gives out the Aliyot. That I think is very significant because people always have complaints. I have a Yortzeit, for a father-in-law, he has a yahrzeit for his aunt, why did he get the aliyah and not me, and this, and everybody's always picking on that gabbai, and if he were to give out this portion of the tochacha to somebody in shul, that person would have a complaint against the gabbai. So the gabbai gets the aliyah. I'm saying all of this because it's a heavy piece of Torah, which basically says, if you do not listen to what God says, then terrible things will happen. And if you persist, even after those punishments come, in not obeying God, things will get even worse and worse and worse and worse. Very, very heavy. And then I says to myself, as the expression goes, we have a milder version of that kind of warning every day, twice a day, at least, in the Shema, specifically the second passage, which reads in a much lighter way, or less heavy, we'll say, V'haya im shamoa tishmu el mitzvotai, and it will be that if you hearken to my commandments that I command you today, to love God, to serve Him with all your heart and all your soul, then I will give you rainfall on time, and bountiful crops will result in that, and all kind of good things. But Hishamaru lachem pen yiftel avavachem, beware of for yourselves, lest your heart be seduced, and you turn astray and serve gods of others, and prostrate yourself before them. And it says, if that happens, then there won't be beneficial rain, and the ground will not yield its crop, and you will lose your hold on the land. Somehow, maybe because it's twice a day, and maybe because the tone of voice, which is, of course, a funny thing to talk about, since I'm reading words from a page in both cases, but in the case of the Tochacha in Ki Tavo, you hear a tone of voice that is devastating, and in the daily Shema, it's somehow calmer, more matter of fact. This is the story. You listen to God, good things will happen. You don't listen, bad things will happen. So my mind went in the direction of saying, if we recite that twice a day, why do we need a heavy reproach? And then my mind went in the opposite direction. I said, wait, much earlier in the Torah, in the Parsha of Yitro, where we read of revelation at Sinai, of Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, there, in the preliminary verses, we find V'ata im shamoa tishmu v'koli ushmartem et briti v'yitem li segula mikol ha'amim ki li kol ha'aretz. If you hearken well to me, capital M, and observe my covenant, you shall be to me the most beloved treasure of all peoples, for mine is the entire world. You shall be to me, v'yitem li, v'atem tihiyu li, mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. Ela hadvarim asher diber el b'nei Yisrael. This is what God said to the people of Israel. What's missing there is the negative. If you don't listen to me, then... So it starts as it would with anyone asking someone else to do something. Could be a parent and a child, it could be a spouse and his spouse, it could be friends, siblings, whatever. If there's a love relationship and you're asking, can you do me a favor and do such and such, you don't have to say, and if you don't do it, I'm going to be upset with you. If it's the kind of thing that the person doesn't want to do, and might not do unless you add, if you don't do this, I will be angry with you, and maybe that will be enough motivation to get the particular job done. But what if you need more? What if the person doesn't care if you are angry with him? So you have to say, and if you don't do this, I'm going to beat you to a pulp. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that the existence of the tochacha, of the heavy words of reproach, is already a bad situation that we, the people of Israel, ever needed such harsh words of threat from God to do his bidding. It would really, really be much, much better if he would just say something and we would just do it. And not just do it, but do it with a certain feeling of joy in doing God's will. I don't want to sound too much like a preacher here, but these are my thoughts related to the tochacha in Parshat Ki Tavo. Heavy, devastating threat. And I would love to object and say, why do you have to say that? But we know Jewish history. We know that the people in the time of the first temple turned their backs on God, and idol worship was commonplace. And we really can't judge from a society and an era where we don't have the allure of idolatry the same way they did in those days. But it's a serious thing. It's a heavy thing. Obviously, the tochacha is necessary, and that leads me to say that's our challenge. Let's at least go to the point where the calmer, softer words of the Shema would be sufficient to keep us in line and not need the heavy tochacha. Then would even be better of an im b'chukotai teilechu, if you follow God's ways, without having to say, and if you don't. That, if you don't do what I tell you, is already a bad thing. It should never be needed to be said, but it is. And I know that I'm repeating myself, so maybe I will stop now with this point and move on to another. But those are some of the thoughts that have occupied my mind during this pre-Rosh Hashanah period. Before we continue, let's have another track from that David Fadida Presents Yonatan Sheinfeld album. This one is a song which I've played on and off over the years, one of my favorites, Tinatzel Nafshi. I won't go through the whole introduction as to where it, what it means. It comes from the meditative passage that is said by some people before they put on their talit in the morning, and it speaks of asking God for a special kind of divine protection.
Tinatzel nafshi v'ruchi v'nishmati u'tfilati Tzoni Tinatzel nafshi Ruchi v'nishmati U'tfilati Min achi tzoni Alcohol, נשמעתי ותפילתי מן החיצונים. תנצל נפשי ברוחי ונשמעתי ותפילתי מן החיצונים.
As I've pointed out in the past, the Book of Devarim can be roughly divided into three parts. The first part with the review of the history of the wandering in the wilderness, the fundamentals of Judaism. The middle part, the profusion of mitzvot that we find in Re'eh, Shofetim, and Ki Tetzeh. And from this week till the end of the Book of Devarim and the end of the Torah, you have the why and the wherefore of Jewish life in the form of reward and punishment and free will and really the different ways of saying that's what things are all about. It starts mid Parshat Ki Tavoh, where we have finished with the bulk of mitzvot in the Torah, overwhelming majority of them. There are really only two more to come in Parshat Vayelech, and none till, or only three actually, until we get to Parshat Bo a long time from now. So we're getting out of the intense do this, don't do that, but we do get in different wordings and in different ways of saying it a feeling of this is who we are. We, the Jewish people, have a reason for existence. That reason for existence is expressed in the Torah in many different ways. In Ki Tavoh we have Hayom Hazeh, this day, Hashem Elokecha Mitzavcha Lasot Et HaChukim Ho'ela Ve'et HaMishpatim. This day, God commands you to perform these decrees and these statutes, and you shall observe and perform them with all your heart and with all your soul. Over and over again, it says that. And here, before the heavy warning, we have the command to do as God says. There's some very nice passages here. I didn't mean to come across in such a heavy manner. We have a sampling of the blessings for proper adherence to God. Baruch Ata Ba'ir, Baruch Ata Vasadeh, blessed are you in the city and in the field, all kind of good things. Kol HaBrachot Ha'ela, all of these brachot will catch up to you. Baruch Pri Vitnecha, blessed are the fruit of your womb. Blessed are the fruit of the ground, the animals, their proliferation, your food basket. Blessed are you coming and going, and all kind of good promises. But somehow, the balance, I really apologize for getting back to this, the balance that we find in the wording of the Torah, of the brachot, where you have to look closely to find them, and the curses, arur, 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 od, again and again and again. You have here a description of what will take place after entry into the land of Israel, but it's a full description before it happens, as if Moshe Rabbeinu is telling this to the people. You're going to go through this, but you're going to hear it now again. And from our perspective of people who review the Torah each year and read it in public in a yearly cycle, it happens for us again. This Shabbat, it's as if we are standing poised at the threshold of the land of Israel, listening to Moshe Rabbeinu tell the people what to expect when they enter the land. We are also with that feeling of having entered the land already and standing on Har Gerizim and Har Eval, listening again to the reiteration of the blessings and the curses. So it boils down to a choice. The choice will be expressed next week in the famous wording of Uvacharta Bachayim, and you shall choose life. And maybe you could sum it up like this. We finished three sedras that contained 170 mitzvot. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. And now we are getting a picture of an important why. Why? This is not a voluntary choice on our part. We are part of the Jewish people. We have a Torah. We have a challenge to keep the Torah. We are prohibited from violating the Torah. We listen to God's word. We don't turn away from Him. If we do things correctly, we will be blessed. If not, the opposite. It's almost as simple as that, except human life is not that simple, and we complicate things, but that's pretty much the story. And that's what we get here in Ki Tavoh, and we'll have it next week with Nitzavim. And that leads us into Rosh Hashanah, a judgment day, and a period for serious introspection. At the very end of this week's portion of Ki Tavoh, we are brought up to date. Moshe summoned all of Israel and said to them, Atem re'item, you have seen all that God has done before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. The great trials that your eyes beheld, those great signs and wonders. However, God did not give you a heart to know and eyes to see, ears to listen, ad hayom hazeh, until this point, at the end of the period of the wandering, until this point you have lived in the womb, in the cocoon of the Midbar, protected by heavenly clouds of glory, fed with manna, fed with miraculous water, clothes didn't wear out, shoes didn't wear out. But now we are going soon across the Jordan River to be born into a nation. I say that only because of the image of having existed in the womb previously. Now you will emerge into the real world that will confront you in the land of Israel, where hopefully you will follow all that you're supposed to do. The very last words of the Sedra, Ushmartem et divrei habrit hazot, you shall observe the words of this covenant so that you will succeed in all that you do. That is the uplifting message at the end of a very heavy parsha, and more to come. On that note, I wish you a Shabbat Shalom, Lehishtameah.